We're playing. It's Melbourne Fashion Festival at the moment.
Oh yeah.
No, no, that's okay. And we're accompanying some runway. Kind of funny. So we had some like sound check rehearsals for that with all the models. We're kind of random.
Great single, by the way. So fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like it?
Yeah, it's really good. Fun fact about me: my best mate lives in Melbourne, and I went to your when you were opening for Royal Otis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was really, really fun. And I guess I wanted to ask you, like, what was that tour like for you?
I mean, they're great. Like, they're just great at what they do.
Yeah.
They're a lot poppier than us, but I think that, like, I'm really glad that they exist because it's good. Like, it's good music.
Yeah.
And I think it's making people interested in good band music, good guitar music.
Totally.
And lovely people. And yeah, at the time, I mean, it's fuck, right? It's been a while now, but at the time it was pretty great.
I guess I just wanted to start with how you guys formed as a band and what your origin story was.
So yeah, I went to school with Jules, who is a lead guitar player. We've been playing in a band for like since we were like kids almost, and then moved to Melbourne and then met Michael and Lockie, the bass player drummer, a few years ago, probably 3 years ago, and that's when it kind of properly started.
Yeah.
In a serious way. But the band's kind of been going forever, and people have come and gone, but the last 3 years, I would say, when the band really formed.
I'm a sucker for any band with the word radio in their title. Famously love the radio. How'd you come up with your band name?
There's a record store in Sydney called Radio Free Alice. It's a secondhand record store run by a really lovely guy called James Ty that we kind of know, and we used to go there growing up. That's sort of the answer, but then the kind of, I think the record store got its name from a pirate radio station in Italy in the 70s, I think, called Radio Free Alice. That was sort of playing rock and roll. So yeah, it comes from Radio Free Alice.
Yeah. No, gorgeous. That's so fun. And I think sonically, a lot of people have compared you guys to The Clash and The Smiths. But I guess I just wanted to hear from you. Who are you most inspired by musically?
It's sort of ever-changing, but there's sort of these fundamental ingredients that will never go away, and like those names you mentioned, Clash, Smiths,
yeah,
they're kind of, you know, The Cure, Strokes, those kind of bands are like, they're at the core, you know. But then over time, we sort of add new ingredients in there, and because of the way like we play guitar and the way that I sing, we'll always be kind of in a certain genre. There's stuff like even like trap that we really love, like Young Lean, and there's certain vocal phrasings that I actually influenced by Young Lean, but you wouldn't, or even Slow Tie, but you wouldn't know that because it's sung in a sort of a kind of Morrissey style singer doing it. So there's some random influences like that, but yeah, I mean, we're also like massively influenced by just local Melbourne bands that we really love that are just sort of our friends. Like there's a band called Shot Corridor we really look up to, and another band called Rain Dogs, NPC. There's a Newcastle band called Dust that you're probably aware of that like we really love. And even the whole Dean Blunt world is really
so
interesting
good.
To us. Like we're huge Bar Italia fans. Yeah, I don't know if you're across them. But
no, love them, and I missed their show when they came, and I was like, working, I was like, I should be there.
Yeah, I think they're sort of our favourite British band probably at the moment.
Yeah.
All these bands are sort of like micro-influences, you know, like there'll be a split second in a song that's influenced by them.
I mean, and I guess you, vocally, I think it's quite distinctive, especially like from a guitar-heavy band. Do you have anything that kind of influences you vocally, or is that just kind of you?
Yeah, well, it's never deliberate. It's not like, oh, I want to sound like that person. But just growing up, I mean, obviously, I love Morrissey. That's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
I love the Smiths, and like they were my favorite band growing up.
Yeah.
They were always my favorites. And but I kind of think my voice is sort of, I'm sort of a bit of a, I collect, what's the word, lyrebird? You know, like, I love the way Paul Weller sings, and I love the way Morrissey sings, and I love the way Joe Strummer sings, and I love, you know, so I kind of want to fuse those together.
Right.
But then I also love the way Ian Curtis sings. Then there's also, like, local artists. Like, there's this band, this local Melbourne band called Think About You, who I highly recommend. And this singer, who's a friend of mine, Darcy Noonan, is my favourite singer in Melbourne. And he's got this really distinctive vocal style, and sort of subconsciously I've started slightly ripping it off. Yeah, I don't know, like, even like Nico from the Melbourne Underground, like, there's just certain things that, like, I'm sort of subconsciously in the background when I'm trying to sing.
I guess moving on to the single which released yesterday, great track. What was the writing process like? Was it different from any of your past projects?
I was playing guitar with Jules, and I had this this rhythm that I thought was cool, and he had this quite dissonant guitar riff, and we just had it, we liked it. It was more angular and dissonant and dark than sort of our other songs, because usually we're quite melodic and poppy, and this wasn't that, and it was sort of exciting to just follow through with that direction for once. But part of us with the song, it's like, I don't know if people would like it. I mean, I think it's great, but it's just because it's a lot more dissonant than our other stuff.
Right.
I mean, it's not like totally inaccessible, but maybe I underestimate people.
I mean, like, it's definitely, I don't know if noisy is the right word, but it's definitely more like heavier than your earlier stuff.
Yeah.
More in the like post, not really post-punk, but like moving in that direction, I guess.
Yeah.
In terms of reception, there's a lot more, I guess, yearning, well, at least in the crowds I run in, for like heavier post-punk music to kind of rise up a little. So yeah, I don't know. I think you do underestimate people. Sorry, is this an indication of the direction you're gonna go in now, I guess?
I don't really believe in, like, directions.
Yeah.
That sounds really pretentious. But I don't believe in, like, this is now our direction. Like, so with us, it's just, like, every song's just a little, like, experiment, a little sort of, you're just sort of playing around. Nothing's very deliberate, and it's kind of all just for a laugh, really.
Yeah.
And we take it really seriously, but, like, it's not like, okay, let's go in this direction now, like, so no, definitely not. Yeah, I don't know what direction we're gonna go in. Just go. We just want to get better. I don't care what genre that's in.
I guess because you're still in the early stages of being a band, you can, but you're able to do their experimental stuff a little more easily, which is cool. Just to like experiment with sounds. Yeah.
I'm a big believer in, like, for any band to have meaningful longevity, they need to be constantly reinventing themselves and taking risks and, like, risking isolating people. Because any band that, like I love the Strokes, but I saw the Strokes play when they were in Australia last time, and it was like sad, I thought, to be honest, because they haven't changed, and they're still great, but they haven't changed. They're still selling the same commodity. I mean, it's why the Radiohead, like, we look up to so much, and we look up to Damon Albarn and Nick Cave, and people who have, like, constantly taken risks and pissed people off along the way.
Yeah.
But you've just got to have a career that's more than just... It's such a young man's game as well, the indie rock thing. There's something weird about, like, a 40-year-old singing about... Like, it's Julian Casablancas singing "Is This It?" Just feels like it's meant to be sung by a 23-year-old, and it feels fake when he sings it at 43 or whatever.
I
want him to sing about something else.
I guess you'll find out when you're 43 as well. Shit. What was the narrative or like story behind the song? What thematically were you trying to create with this track?
I was reading a lot of this guy, Mark Fisher. Do you know Mark Fisher?
The music writer. He's a
kind of. He's like a he's a cultural theorist, yeah. But like he does a lot of music writing,
yeah.
Stuff on music, but he connects it to like economic criticisms and stuff. But yeah, I was reading a lot of this book that he wrote called K-Punk, and it was sort of talking a lot about the impact of capitalism on culture and stagnating culture,
yeah.
And it was basically that theme just really interests me. A lot of the lines and empty words are like directly referencing stuff that I've read,
right.
From him in his books. There's a few songs that are quite Mark Fisher influenced because I just got really into him for a while. But yeah, a lot of the sort of everything has changed but nothing has happened is sort of at the core of like of the point of the song.
Do you think you could go maybe a little bit more into what you mean by stagnating culture?
Well, there's sort of a couple reasons for it, but we sort of, it feels like for the last 20 to 30 years, culture hasn't evolved. Things haven't really evolved culturally. Like, music kind of still sounds the same as it did 20 years ago. You couldn't name a sort of truly innovative artist of any medium of the last 20 to 30 years, particularly 20 years. This sense of just repeating ourselves, and there's so this culture of nostalgia porn, of which Radio Free Alice is like a total culprit. I mean,
yeah.
We're totally like not to blame for it, but a part of that culture of you know, it's not new, but I don't blame us because no one's new. And I mean, capitalism's to blame. That's a bold statement, but it's true. Capitalism's to blame. Like, even, you know, lines like, only prisoners have time to read nowadays.
Yeah.
It's like, that's something Mark Fisher talks about, is like, with this sort of like, the way people work, it's just totally, they just give up their entire lives to work.
Yeah.
And if you want to read a book, there's no time to like be creative anymore because it's all about money, and
yeah.
You can't take risks anymore because there's too much financial stake. I mean, art school used to be free.
Yeah.
Like the bands that I look up to in the late 70s, early 80s, they were all in art school. They were working class British people in art school. They went to art school for free. And they learned about modernism, and they thought, let's start a band and like, let's put, you know, cubism or brutalism in music form. And like, that's what, to me, Joy Division is. It's like modernism, modernist visual art in band form. And that's what's innovation is. Like, innovation happens when you're influenced by something that isn't music.
Yeah.
Because if you're only influenced by musical things, you're just going to repeat yourself.
Totally.
It's just because you've got to be influenced by something in the visual art world, in the philosophical world, in the literary world. But now people are only influenced by music. You know, it's like if you played someone a song from... If you played someone a song in 1980, a song from 1985, their minds would be blown. But if you were to play someone a song in 2000 from 2020, they wouldn't blink.
Katie from the schoolyard, well, she told me about the government, don't trust her. Well, I knew that I'm the badger stuck in our uniform. They say that everything has changed, but nothing has happened. I said I could kill them with my empty words, or I could say them all. I said I could kill them with my empty words, or I could say them all. Messaging in some kids' cartoon, how only prisoners have.